I am very excited to welcome in studio today the FoodShare president and CEO, Jason Jakubowski. And Jason and I have spoken over the phone, oh gosh, I don't even know how
many
times.
Many times.
And I'm so glad I'm finally seeing you face to face.
Yes, look at that. I'm here.
How
this is great.
Are you?
This is awesome.
It's amazing.
This is fantastic.
You look just like the guy I see during all those press conferences on TV.
That's it. You know, something like that. There's not much difference.
Listen, but I'm very glad that we're finally connecting in studio because
I was going to bring some records in. We could play, but then
it's a whole new world.
It's a different world.
We don't do it anymore.
Outrageous.
I know, right? But you know, I do want to talk about certainly what is happening in the world right now. Which
there's a lot happening in the world.
Food is a huge thing right now. Food insecurity in Connecticut, which is how you and I got connected so many years ago, Jason, because you guys have concrete data that I think sometimes puts into perspective for what a lot of Connecticut residents may not realize.
Yeah.
And so I guess let's first of all talk about what FoodShare is and what does some of the recent data show here in Connecticut?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Connecticut Food Share we are the food bank serving the entire state of Connecticut. We're certified by Feeding America. We work with the state of Connecticut. We work with all of the different grocery distributors across the state. About 75% of our food is donated by the state of Connecticut. By the grocery stores here in the state of Connecticut.
Mm.
We collect that food. We distribute that food to 600 local pantries all across the state. And people are always saying, well, what parts of the state are you just? It is all 169
everywhere.
Towns.
Wow.
There's not one part of the state in which it's better or worse. It's the inner cities, Bridgeport, New Haven, Hartford. It's affluent suburbs, Greenwich, Darien, Avon, Simsbury. And it's also the small rural towns. People often forget about Union and Voluntown and Cornwall. But, you know, hunger is a real issue there because, you know, people are sometimes, you know, 45, you know, 50, maybe 60 minutes away from a grocery store.
Right.
So it's difficult. So it's all across the state. We distribute probably about 45 million meals a year.
Wow.
Across the state of Connecticut. And like I said, we have 600 local pantries that we deal with.
It's really impressive. And I think something to highlight what you just said, Jason, is perspective. I think, you know, there are a couple towns in there that, you know, even I sit back and it's like, wait, what? Like
Greenwich, come on. No,
right. Yeah, you know, like Greenwich or even a Simsbury.
Yeah.
And it's interesting you even mentioned that last group because, you know, we talk about it a lot from a medical standpoint.
Yeah.
You know, we don't have a hospital that's nearby. But, man, to not have a grocery store, like some people may not even realize that's a reality in Connecticut.
I'm from New Britain. I live in West Hartford. It's like, you know, grocery store. You just go down the street.
Right,
and there's a grocery store.
Right.
But, I mean, you go to some of these towns and, you know, it's a far distance away.
Mm.
And then especially for a lot of senior citizens, we've seen an increased number of senior citizens in our lines over the last several months and probably the last several years as well. It's hard. I mean, it's very difficult for them because, you know, they're on fixed incomes and they're just, you know, they got to pay for their medication. They got to pay for their heat, their electricity. Where do they get their, you know, where do they take away from? They end up taking away from food. And that's not a decision we want anybody to have to make.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And so, Jason, it sounds like you will be, you know, FoodShare is not going anywhere anytime soon.
Unfortunately, like we used, you know, there used to be people used to say, oh, you know, you want to put yourselves out of business. You want to put yourselves out of business. That'd be great. That'd be wonderful. It's not a reality. I mean, you look at, you know, food, hunger goes back to the Old Testament. I mean, you know, this is thousands and thousands of years. And it's one of the last real things that as a human race, we haven't been able to solve. Again, 5,000 years ago, people were dealing with hunger. People are dealing with it now, too. Albeit in different ways, but it's still a problem.
Right.
Especially for kids, especially for seniors.
Yeah. I mean, and let's even talk about that because I think there was an article that came out maybe a week or two ago and it was talking about the many students who are not going to have their lunches or their breakfasts provided for them in their schools.
Yeah.
And there were quite a lot of districts that unfortunately were saying, hey, we have to at least have reduced pricing, but we can't just give the free meals out anymore. I mean, what are some of the numbers? Not to put you on the spot, Jason, but
you're putting me on the spot. You're putting me on the spot.
You know what? You're not sweating. Your cheeks are not red.
I'm all right. I'm okay.
It feels like you've got these numbers.
A little
I feel
hot
like
in here.
Heart. Well, that's just the lighting.
No, no.
But it does feel like you probably have these numbers to heart, unfortunately, because they're pretty. They're pretty staggering,
honestly. There's 515,000 people in Connecticut right now who are hungry, who don't know where their next meal is coming from. It's an 11% increase over last year. Last year was a 23% increase over the year before. Here's probably the most startling one. The numbers are as high as they are, are high, as high right now as they were during the peak of the pandemic.
Wow.
And people are like, there's no way, that's impossible. But if you think about it, it makes sense. I mean, during the pandemic, the government was flooding us with boxes of food. We were at Rentschler Field at the UConn football stadium handing out 2,500 boxes a day, all those ARPA funds. You had child tax credit, all these things. You have a economic downturn now, but you don't have those things in place. And we're definitely seeing more and more people, coming to us and, asking, hey, what can I get? The unfortunate reality is the amount of food we've gotten has stayed about the same. So say, the size of the pie is staying the same. The number of people eating from it is increased. That means the pieces are smaller. And
right.
That's not a reality that we're happy about. By
yeah. Right, right. And again, we have Jason Jakubowski here, who is the president and CEO of Food Share.
I like that you can say that, by the way, because not everybody, but I mean, your last name is Sheketov.
I was just going to say, grow up with the name Sheketov.
I'm very impressed. Most people can't figure that out.
Oh,
so.
Well, listen, we're two birds of a feather. We flock together.
We're good.
We do. Yeah. We know our numbers and we know our last names are very complicated, but we are in good company for sure. No, I think, too, Jason, to your point, that when I love that analogy of you've got the same pie that's being served, but more people. So the slices are a lot smaller. Yeah. And you had mentioned before children and seniors.
Yeah.
But I would even ask, are we seeing anything in between?
Oh, of course.
But as far as has that population gone up of needing their meals?
Yes. And what you've seen here in Connecticut is, we talk about United Way calls it the Alice population.
Yes.
That is exactly what you're seeing here in Connecticut. Because unemployment is relatively low right now, and usually when unemployment is high, need for our services is through the
skyrocketing.
Roof. This is weird. We're in a weird position because unemployment is relatively low, yet there's still an increased need for our services, and it's because people are employed. Sometimes they have two jobs.
Right.
It's just hard to make ends meet in today's world, in which the cost of living is so high. I mean, it's always high here in the Northeast anyway. I'm with you, by the way. I heard you said before I wouldn't leave New England for anything.
No, I'm a New Englander.
I'll take my fall over 150 degrees down in Florida any day.
Yeah.
But it's a high cost of living. The two things we hear the most in our lines are obviously the cost of groceries, but also the affordability and availability of housing here in Connecticut.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, there's new, my dad was telling me there's new apartments downtown New Britain for $2,500 a month. I'm like, that's like, three times my first mortgage.
Right. That's crazy. It's crazy.
It's wild.
I mean,
it's just wild.
Yeah. I mean, I know I have a call in soon this week with the state to talk about eviction notices because it's Jason, I don't know what to do for the amount of listeners I have who are elderly or are seniors and they are evicted. And then they say, Melissa, I'm living out of my car. I mean, this is a reality.
It's awful.
Exactly. And I love that you brought that up, Jason, because I think sometimes when you hear about, well, we have a lot of food insecurity in Connecticut, a lot of times people will immediately say, well, it's one thing and it's inflation or it's, tariffs. And that's a portion.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
No.
But I think to your point, the cost of living, the fact that we don't have enough available housing, the fact that we don't have electric rates that are affordable. I mean, there's so many, I guess, issues with that it sounds like kind of trickle down to leading to food insecurity.
Absolutely. And what keeps me up at night is what's coming over the next couple of years, too. Mm. I mean, you've seen, there are cuts in Medicaid that are coming. There are cuts in SNAP that are coming. The state is going to have to pick up a bigger chunk of the bill for SNAP, which is, SNAP is a fancy word for food, what we called when I was a kid,
food stamps. Mm-hmm.
And, if there are less people that are utilizing those programs, that's less money that they have to go to the grocery store. That means they're going to come to our local pantries and say, hey, I need more, I need more, I need more. And we have less. So, there's definitely a concern over how does some of this stuff play out, not just in the short term, but in the long term. It makes us, it keeps us worried. It does keep us worried.
So glad to finally meet one-on-one. Like I said, Jason Jakubowski's been on my show. Oh, gosh.
Many times.
I can't believe it took us this long to meet in person.
I know.
It's a little embarrassing.
It's a small state. I mean, it is a small state. Aren't you from Connecticut?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, usually everybody assumes we all know each other.
I know.
From Connecticut.
I know. We knew of each other.
And you're a Yankee fan, so we were probably at a game together.
Right?
At some point.
I know. Seriously. Well, I mean, I'm glad that, you know, better late than never.
That, there you go. That's how we roll.
That's for sure. Yes. By the way, Jason has 5 children. I'm one of 5. So we were kindred spirits before we even knew.
Yeah.
Just saying.
And you're still here. So I mean, still and you're and you still talk to your parents.
This is a sign that, yes, you will get through it.
Like, that's what I want to, that's good.
It is. You will get through any trial or tribulation. My parents have all 5 of their children talking to
you. Giving me hope. You're giving me a lot of hope.
Jason is also not just the father of 5 wonderful children, but he is also the president and CEO of FoodShare. I actually saw this and I got to be honest with you, Jason. I forgot that you were coming on. I don't know if this was like on purpose, but today you're going to be with the governor.
That was not on purpose. This was booked before that.
Right?
You know, those things are last minute. Yeah, the governor and the commissioner of DSS, Commissioner Barton Reeves, and Brian Hurlburt, the commissioner.
My other
of agriculture.
Buddy, Brian, who I finally met last year too.
Brian is
nice
fantastic.
Guy.
We have the best ag commissioner in the country.
I love him. He's great.
I don't know the other 49, but he is.
But I do like Brian Hurlburt.
Brian is fantastic, and Andrea and I are old friends. But they're coming by today to talk about the state's investment in Connecticut FoodShare.
What's that about? I want to hear.
Well, there's so much, you know, down in D.C., everything's very partisan, everything's very party line. One of the things that we've been able to do here in Connecticut is take a very bipartisan approach to hunger.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at both the Democrats' budget last year and the Republicans' budget last year, they both included increased funding for Connecticut FoodShare.
Mm-hmm.
There's a program that's existed for 20 years called CTNAP. It's the Connecticut Nutrition Assistance Program, created by Governor Jody Rell, a Republican, and a Democratic state legislature. And what it did was it put some money aside for Connecticut FoodShare. The only thing we can do with the money under state law, this was great that they had the foresight to do this, is to purchase food for our local pantries. I can't use it on salaries. I can't use it on overhead. I can't use it on diesel fuel. Not that all those things aren't necessary, but you can only use it to buy food for local pantries.
That's great.
It's been funded at about $850,000 for 20 years.
Wow.
And so we asked for $10 million. We didn't get $10 million, but the legislature and Governor Lamont were able to provide us with $3 million for fiscal 26 and $6 million for fiscal 27. So that is a major, major increase in the states and what
investment
the state is able to invest in us. You compare that to other states like New Jersey, they invest $85 million, you know, Massachusetts, $25 million, New York, $35 million. So, you know, we're definitely not up to those levels. But I think it's also a recognition that, you know, I talked about the size of that pie. I mean, we're losing 30% of our food comes from the federal, or 25% of our food comes from the federal government.
Mm.
That's not stable right now. There's been 35 trailer loads of food that's been canceled over the last 6 months. So I give the state, again, both parties, a lot of credit for stepping up to the plate and saying, hey, let's at least try to fill this hole. They're not filling it completely. I mean, it's not completely solving I will say, I keep holding everybody to this too. You know, you have a lot of politicians on your show. They all keep saying, well, this is just a down payment and we're going to do more for you in the future. I'm like, okay, I'm going to hold you
great,
to that.
Great, because when we get to this date in 2 years, I'd love to know what that investment
is.
It's
true.
At
some point in time.
You have to. It has to be ongoing. It's the same way I feel about education.
Yeah.
You can't just put a bunch of money up front and say, all right, we fixed the problem. No, this is going to take years to clean up where we are.
And it was done and I really do feel good about that. I mean, it was done on a bipartisan basis.
I agree.
For the first time this year, there is a hunger caucus at the state legislature. It is bipartisan. It is co-chaired by Eric Berthel in the Senate and Eleni Kavros-DeGraw in the House. Eleni and Eric will tell you they don't necessarily agree on much.
Right.
there's not many things. She's a liberal representative from Avon. He's a conservative senator from Western Connecticut.
Mm-hmm.
But they absolutely agree on this. And it was the two of them that came together, put forth the proposal for the $10 million.
That's awesome.
So we try to do things a little differently here in Connecticut than they do in D.C. But that's the governor's coming out and talking about that with the two commissioners today. And it's always great to have him at our facility. He gets to see the volunteers. He gets to see what we do. I think it's also important to remind him and obviously all of our elected officials that these are their constituents. These are their people. And this is happening in their backyard.
Mm-hmm.
The most, I've lobbied for years on a number of different issues. I think the most effective line that we used over this last legislative session was there is not one legislative district in the state,
correct,
Senate or House,
mm-hmm,
that there is not one of our pantries in.
Right, because it impacts all 169.
It doesn't matter how affluent your district is, doesn't mm-hmm matter how small your district is. And we were able to show, hey, you know, an increased investment can provide this many more meals into your district. So,
yeah,
you know, I feel very fortunate that mm-hmm we're able to do this work that does cut across partisan lines in this time in which things are just so divisive.
Yeah,
and,
right.
And it's not like I was in D.C. last week for a Feeding America meeting, and you know, the climate here in Connecticut is very different than it is down there.
But
very
I think even different. That is important to share with people who may not realize, or maybe they're only listening to, again, national news, which I understand, because those are the loudest voices. But to me, I always think it's so important that you're checking in with the local voices, what's actually happening. And again, I think Connecticut is a very different political climate than what's happening in Washington,
absolutely,
D.C. Very, very different.
And dealing with local municipalities, too. Every other food bank in the country, they go by county.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, wait, you don't have counties. And I said, no, we don't have counties in Connecticut. They said, what do you have? I said, I have 169 sovereign municipalities.
Right.
And then they look at me and say, how does that work? And I'm like, well, not very good.
It's a little complicated. We're still figuring it out.
I've lived here my whole life. I said, it's not the easiest thing in the world. But again, you know, the first selectman of Oxford has a very different perspective on things compared to the mayor of New Haven,
right,
or the town manager in West Hartford.
Right.
So,
right,
you know, I mean, this is the beauty of the beauty of Connecticut.
Yeah, no, it's definitely a unique spot. But as you mentioned, Jason, there's an awful lot that we don't agree on, I think, as a country and certainly as a state.
Yeah.
But the fact that hunger is unfortunately alive and well in every single municipality in Connecticut, that is something we agree on, and it has to continue to be a priority for us, and it sounds like it is, and so I'm happy about that. Jason, please come back to studio sooner rather than later. It would be wonderful
couple
to
years,
keep
I'll
having
be back
you.
In a couple years.
Right?
Or
is that when we re-meet?
I'll be on the show,
but like in studio.
I like coming down here. This is great.
This
easy
wasn't
ride,
that bad.
No traffic in the
See?
Morning or anything like that.
I did that for
so
you.
That was very, very well done. Very,
you know, I
very
made
well
a quick
done.
Call to the traffic gods. I was like, listen, I need this guy to keep coming back.
I'll come
studio.
Back when the Yankees are in the World Series, and then we can.
No, because then we're going to cry about them losing.
You got to be optimistic.
Listen, I'm married to a Red Sox fan.
How is that possible?
That's a whole different can of worms we can get into.
Wow. That's
yeah, it's
wild.
Been a brutal summer watching them. You sit down over there. Yes, my producer's a Red Sox
look
fan.
At that. That's not necessary.
It's brutal. Yeah. Listen, like I said, come back whenever you want, Jason. For the Yankees, for news, I'll be here.
All right. Sounds good.
I look forward to having you back in studio. Jason Jakubowski, thank you so much.
Happy to be here.
And we are going to put a link actually to the Food Share website on ours, voiceofct.com, if you want to see more of those facts and figures and get involved certainly on combating hunger in our state. We so appreciate it. We'll put it on our website.